Hi, I'm Reverend Zach.
And I'm Matt.
And welcome to This Movie Was a Hot Dog, a podcast for me and my brother or a friend of mine. Your name's Matt, correct?
I'd like to think so.
But you're an entirely different person from the previous guy.
I'd also like to think so.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to get that out of the way. And we watch a bad movie critically, financially, or otherwise, then we review it, break it down, and tell you what we think. And Matt, welcome. You are joining us for our end of summer celebration, where everyone's going back to school, and we are watching the films that many feel encapsulate the freedom of summer. We're watching the foregone genre of the boob comedy.
This one did take place during a school year, but that...
But everyone's 40, and
I don't think it played too much into the overall spectrum of the movie.
Well, this movie, well, first of all, I should say what it is. It's the 1979 sex comedy HOTS, H-O-T-S, that is an acronym. It's an interesting film. First of all, this is the oldest boob comedy we watched by far.
You also don't find out what the fuck HOTS means unless you're paying attention to, like, the end of the movie.
But this film stars three Playboy playmates. Susan Keeger, she was Miss January 1977. Pamela Bryant, she was Miss April 1978. And Sandy Johnson, she was Miss June 1974. And one of them is also a former Miss USA. And there's another one who's a sexploitation actress.
You've already done way more research on this movie than I could ever imagine.
Well, I tried to do, like, okay, who's in this movie? And it was like, oh, it's a bunch of Playboy models? I guess that's why this movie is the way it is. It certainly explains a lot.
And Danny Bonaducci. We cannot forget Danny Bonaducci.
Danny Bonaducci. Does anybody even know who Danny Bonaducci is anymore?
Unless you watch, like, what, he's on that, like, True TV show, isn't he?
Well, Danny Bonaducci became initially famous for being on the Partridge Family.
Right.
And then he dropped off the face of the earth. And then you and me were old enough to get to know him when he had that, like, resurgence where he was just, like, a talking head on VH1 for a while.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's just a talking head on a lot of things now, I think.
Yeah, but he used to be, like, he had a couple of reality shows, and remember, like, he was juicing and he, like, punched a guy's teeth out?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I almost didn't remember that.
Yeah, and then he was, like, that's early 2000s where he was, like, re-famous again. Well, I just feel like I gotta say that because some people are born, like, something ridiculous, like, in the year 2000 or something. This movie suffers from boob comedy plot syndrome.
I don't think it could choose a storyline. Like, there was three or four that were going on that whole movie.
And it didn't know which one was the main plot.
It didn't. I think some took precedence over others, but...
Well, it's got one thing going for it. Out of the other three that I watched, this one had the most boobs.
Did you watch all of, like, the three movies that you sent to me? Did you watch all three of them?
No, those were just three that I sent to you. We watched Attack of the 60-Foot Centerfold, which is about a giant naked lady.
Okay.
We watched Screwballs, which is about a bunch of high school kids trying to rape women, but it's funny. Then we watched Oddballs, which has some of the same actors in it, but that's about a summer camp.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So this movie opens up on Fernville University. And I was upset already because out of the other three movies, I'm like, really? Fernville? Where's the boob pun? And then it says, fondly known as good old FU.
Yeah, it doesn't allow you to process the joke that could be there. They just throw it right at you.
Because we don't have time. Because after that, we immediately cut to the inside of a girl's locker room where everyone's naked. We got to get boobs on the screen, Matt, in 38 seconds.
Is that exactly how long it took was 38 seconds? Then we get into the euphemisms for sex and football immediately.
This is where the first of four of the plots start. So we got our first plot where there are these two women who are very catty and prissy, and they're talking about how all these other girls couldn't get into the sorority because some of them are poor and stupid.
That kind of what started the constant shaking of my head, I guess, was she, like, berates this girl, this other girl, because she had to work her way, being a car hop, to go to school. Like, God forbid she shows any kind of work ethic.
Also, they're talking down to these women as if they're, like, a subclass of human. They are literally Playboy playmates. Like, they're gorgeous. Granted, everybody in this scene is about 32 years old, and we're all college freshmen. That aside, though, they're, like, gorgeous. So they're like, well, that pig of a lady over there. So the four pig of a women who are Playboy playmates decide that they're going to get even by starting their own sorority, which you think would just be it. But then they also go, then we're going to steal that bitchy woman's boyfriend from her to get even with her. Then we're going to steal, we're going to have sex with every man on campus. So then we see them walking down the main grounds, and they all have a shirt that has the initials for HOTS. And you find out at the end of the movie that HOTS is actually an acronym for their initials.
Yeah, yeah.
But they don't tell you that when it starts, so you're just like... Well, the other thing that bothers me about this, so when they show up and you see it that it's HOTS, and then you find out that it's an acronym for their characters' names, so you can name these people anything you want. So why not have it so the acronym is like boobs or something? Like, HOTS doesn't make any sense.
I don't know. I don't know why why it's plural even.
That's what I mean. Like, make have it hot with two T's. You're making up these names. You can call them whatever you want. This isn't real. So then they take an ad in the paper to select their girls for their sorority. And because they're so inclusive, every girl who applies gets in. And we've got our ragtag group of ne'er-do-wells, which is one of them's a poor, shabby-dressed girl. The other one's like a lanky nerd. Then there's like an overweight Polish immigrant.
And then the construction worker looking one.
Right, and then like two others, who cares?
Which, by the way, I don't know if you noticed, but they still berate the shit out of them as they're joining the sorority.
Oh yeah, the sorority that they are forming because they weren't able to join a sorority, they're still like talking down to them.
Yeah, like I think they pull a chocolate bar out of the chubbier girl's breast pocket.
Overweight Polish immigrant.
Overweight Polish immigrant.
Well, because she's got, like, a babushka on when she shows up.
Yeah, that's right.
And then we have a house cleaning montage. All the girls get makeovers.
Oh, and then they all walk into that plastic surgeon's office.
Yeah, but none of... What was that?
I don't know, because I didn't see any change unless they just shirt off.
Nobody got any changes, because the one girl is, like, in the scene where they're all getting dressed up, is, like, making a frowny face because they're measuring her chest and she's completely flat. And then Fatty's, you know, the fat girl. And then they walk into the plastic surgeon's office and leave exactly
so
the same.
I watched this with my girlfriend, and she made a very clear, I guess she noticed that they never really measure anything that they have to measure. Like, they measure the one girl's ribs, and then on the other girl, they, like, measure her stomach. But then when the tape doesn't go all the way around, she just gives her that good old, like, 1980s head shake.
Because it's not even like they're measuring each other for clothing. They're measuring each other to show their physical flaws.
Right, exactly.
They're just like, well, this shows how fat you are and how no boobs you have and how big your dumb head is. See, everybody, hope you feel self-conscious now. Get out of here.
Like, if you are not a playmate, then you're not welcome in this sorority. I mean...
But then they are, though. Then they let everybody in.
Then they do. Then they let everybody in, which... For being all-inclusive, they're kind of assholes about it, but then they're forgiving.
You could be in, but you're going to know that I'm better than you.
That's exactly what it was.
Then they take their initiation oath, where their oath is literally, we solemnly swear to use our boobs and butts or whatever to have sex with every guy on campus. And then we cut to the evil sorority, and they're evil because they're dressed nicer.
Then that one chick burns her finger on the candle.
Yeah, and...
I don't know if that was, like...
A joke?
Like a foreshadow to the fact that she's stupid, but that kind of just plays into some of the shit that goes on later in the movie with how, like, I guess, unaware of everything they are.
I guess... Well, then we cut to, now the HOTS are up and running, and they set up posters and flyers for, like, a sexy party or whatever. And then all of a sudden, Danny Bonaducci just shows up. And he just like, hey, I have a band. Can we play at your party? And they're like, sure, you're in the movie now. So we cut to the party. Danny Bonaducci is singing. And this party has everything. A kissing booth, an above ground pool, balloons. And I'm just looking at this party, and I'm like, where's the booze and the drugs? And why are they having this party at, like, noon?
And illegal betting.
That's right. We're gambling all kinds of stuff, actually.
And at which point we are introduced to the two gangsters, I want to call them? Mob men? I don't know.
The B-plot?
The B, yeah. Plot two, I guess?
We cut to plot two, where these two Italian-looking stereotypes are driving in the car, and they turn on exposition radio, where it says, two mobsters who escaped from jail after years ago conducting a robbery where they got $500,000, and they turn off the radio, and they go, well, good thing our character development's out of the way. Well, it turns out they escaped to go get all of the money, which they hid somewhere in the hot house. Isn't that crazy?
Keep in mind that this was a condemned house that they had fixed up in the opening sequence to the movie. So nobody was supposed to be in this house initially.
Did they buy this house or did they just move in?
I think they're squatters. I want to legitimately say that they are squatting in that house.
So after they just go, here's the B-plot, we cut back to the party where the girls are making bathtub moonshine in the attic?
Yeah.
Because I guess they want to kill everyone at the party?
Which, by the way, she takes a pretty big jar of that and then just hands it around to everybody.
She takes a couple of jars, but here's the thing, though. They don't even give it, like, it's not like they're pouring drinks and selling it for a dollar or whatever. It's only given to, like, a select group of people in a room in the house. Like, everyone outside doesn't know there's booze inside. Then the mob guys show up.
They look at the house. They're just like, this has to be the house. Like, there is no, like, maybe it's mistaken, like, we're at the wrong house. It's, nope, this is it. Like, they're sure of it, even though that nothing seems to be adding up.
And, of course, it's a full open house party. Like, they go in there, and people are like, hey, welcome you guys, hey, whatever.
And the first thing they do is walk up to the fucking t-shirt booth.
Yeah, they're not like, hey, people are going in and out of this house freely, and nobody seems to care that we're here. Let's just go inside and find the money. And instead, they end up, like, just hanging out with everybody.
I'm okay with that, though.
So the whole point that all of these people are there, they have a kissing booth and they're raising money there. But the big draw of this party is that a woman is going to skydive out of the sky. And that's it. Like, that's all
I would
is.
Hope she, you know, skydived out of the sky.
But I mean, like, there's not, like, she isn't supposed to have, like, fireworks on her, or she's not supposed to do anything crazy. She's going to jump out of a plane, land in a parachute, and we're all supposed
to cheer? She's supposed to jump into the pool, and that's what everybody was betting on, as to whether or not, one, she was going to make it into the pool, or two, I guess die? Like, that would have been the other option. Is she either makes it into the pool, or she lands outside of the pool. I mean, if you want to discuss what happens next, please.
So she gets ready to jump out of the plane, they hit a little turbulence, and the guy who's gonna, like, push her out of the plane accidentally grabs her bikini top off. So she falls out of the sky completely naked.
Topless skydiving.
And then we cut to the snooty sorority, where they're having hors d'oeuvres and classical music is playing like a bunch of assholes.
This is at the dean's house.
But all of that other sorority is there, though.
Yeah, I don't know why.
Yeah, I don't know what this party is, because it's not, you're right, it's not at the sorority house, but it's like all of the school's faculty are there, and the good student. And so then the woman with her boobs out on the parachute pulls her parachute, it says HOTS on it. And then she lands in the pool of the snooty party where the dean is.
Yeah, so because of said turbulence in the airplane, she ends up flying into, like you said, the snooty party, lands in that pool. She hits a pool, it's just the wrong pool.
And of course, a bunch of women faint and all the men go, well, I never. Because they're so snooty. They're cartoon characters. That's how snooty they are. We should also say this because this character never goes away. Back at the Hots house, two of the evil sorority women put hot sauce in the chili, and a guy eats the chili real quick, and oh no, it's so spicy it burns his mouth, and he jumps in the pool.
His name is Mad Dog. They just put Tabasco in everything. Like, that That was it. There wasn't.
And he's already eating chili.
Yeah, like whatever, spicy, mild chili. It doesn't really fucking matter. But they just coat everything in Tabasco. I mean, isn't like life altering at all? Like it's a little spicy, but not to the extent that they portrayed in the movie at all.
So then we all run to the Snooty House to get the naked girl out of that pool, and I guess this is the end of Act One. So they get her out, and because of this sexy prank, they all have to go to the dean's office. And the dean is now threatening to shut down the Hots house, which he is accusing Hots for standing for hold on to sex. What does that even mean?
I think the dean at this point is just being pressured by the other sorority because they feel threatened. I
think this dean is a cartoon that they made into a real man, and because he's going like, he is talking like this, and he's shaking his head, and he's losing his mind over these damn Hots girls. He's talking like no real human being talks, and if, like, let's say that was the case, assuming it did stand for hold on to sex, how could you get mad? I would just want an explanation. Like, what does that even mean?
Hold on to sex just doesn't make any sense. Like, they could have come up with a way better acronym, even if it's wrong, because we know that it's their initials.
Which, why don't they just say that? I mean, if it is so innocent, where it is literally just the first initial of their names, why don't they just go, my name is Heather, so this is the H, I'm O'Hara, that I'm the O, I'm whoever TNS is. And we would just be like, oh, okay, that makes sense. Much better than the dumb idea I came up with.
I think it was Tara and Sam. Well, keep in mind that may have been a stupid fucking acronym, that hold on to sex. Then they take it a step further,
where they counter that accusation by bringing in a live seal, which I guess they now own. Because the seal lives in the house for the rest of the movie.
And that's where the movie's budget went.
Wrangling this seal. And they say that HOT stands for help out the seals because they're environmentalists.
I do like the seal's name, though. It's Slinky. I mean,
so they had to be like, oh no, the dean is mad at us and is threatening to shut us down. Which is also plot three, by the way. We are now 25 minutes into this. We have introduced three plot lines and have not advanced a single one of them. So they're like, oh no, the dean's going to call us in. More than likely, he's going to accuse us what our name stands for. Instead of telling him the actual innocent answer, quick, somebody buy me a seal. Where did they get a fucking seal from?
Yeah, they have to take care of a fucking seal now. Like, who has the fucking time for that?
Well, don't worry, when the bear shows up later.
First, we have to talk about the house mama.
Wait, we're not there just yet.
I thought we were. Oh, okay.
No, this is where we have the weird, like, prank war that, like, happens for, like, 20 minutes. So they all leave the dean's office. They go back to their home. And then there's ice water dumped on their head.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah, right. They walk through, and nobody notices the buckets and strings.
Right, and then they're like, ooh, those other girls, I know what we'll do. We'll call Mad Dog, the guy who ate the spicy chili at the lame party, because he owns a hot air balloon, ?
That's right. Okay, I'd forgotten about hot air balloon.
Right. They fly this hot air balloon over the evil sorority's house while they're all sunbathing topless so they can throw pies at them. Did they also buy this hot air balloon? Did they spend thousands of dollars to own a hot air balloon for a pie gag?
Not only that, but they're flying a huge banner that says HOTS on it, and one of the girls goes, oh my god, is that a UFO? It's pretty evident that they're being attacked by this rival sorority.
It's a balloon, you fucking
idiot. It's a fucking balloon.
So then we cut to the Hots hiring a old black lady to be their cook, because I guess we realized there were no black people in this movie, so we decided to get one by having her be a terrible racist stereotype.
Yeah, obviously stereotypes were very prominent in this movie, because she had to be sassy, she had to be at least in her mid-60s,
She's dressed like Aunt Jemima.
Oh, yeah. And
she's got
one of those French elongated cigarette things going on,
uh-huh.
like Cruella de Vil, like that kind of shit.
And she just, like, every line she has is just like, what you girls talk about? It's like, oh, no, why did we do this? Ooh, this is making me uncomfortable. She gets scared by the seal because I guess the seal has free roam of the house.
Nothing ever really gets closed in this movie. Like, no plot lines get closed,
no.
I think.
Jesus fucking Christ, this movie's all over the place. So for the next, like, 10 minutes, we have, like, two things going on. The one part is the ongoing prank war, where the evil sorority throws mud at the fat girl, so then the hots find a van with one of the evil sorority fucking the dude in it. They tape the door shut. They cover it in signs, and then they tow the car away. Then the other plot is the main blonde girl from the beginning is finally seducing the bitchy woman's boyfriend, and they fuck in a pool. And then all those scenes I mentioned, they all have boobs in
them.
They just
which, by the way, that pool scene, everybody just looked like they were so uncomfortable.
That pool looked really hot, and I don't mean, like, sexy. It looked like the pool was boiling.
Yeah. Yeah, like they...
There's so much steam coming off this thing.
Like, we need more steam.
It must just be so dehydrated, that poor woman. Then the second plot shows up at the door in what I think
plot,
is your favorite.
Plot two, just to keep everyone's mind on track here, is the mobsters that are looking for the money.
And they knock on the door, and the one guy goes, the old black lady answers, and he goes, hey, lady, it's your lucky day. We picked your house for a cleaning service for our fully autonomous cleaning robot.
He doesn't do windows.
He keeps saying he doesn't do windows. I don't know why. I don't know why he says that.
Well, because they have to set up the joke later when he will definitely do windows.
But I mean, like, at this point, why don't you guys just go in there with a gun? Like, we're going to be like, okay, Rocco, we got to get a trash can and a bunch of vacuum cleaner parts and build it together so you look like you're a robot. And, of course, when we go to the door, nobody will think that that's weird because I guess it's 1979 and we got lots of robots running around.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, so they go inside and the robot is pretending to clean while the other guy looks for the money.
Not very well, by the way. He gets the vacuum stuck in a chandelier.
But when, like, one of the girls come in, they're not like, oh my god, what's this? She's like, oh cool, a robot.
Oh yeah, and then she's just like, oh my god, Boom Boom, who's one of the girls' names. Oh my god, Boom Boom would love you. Like, there's no question as to how the fuck is there a robot. Just, hey.
They're like, oh, Boom Boom loves robots.
So then we smash cut to a fucking bathtub scene where Boom Boom's taking a bath with the seal in another bathtub. So they've got two bathtubs, one with a seal in it, and she goes, hey, catch! And she throws this fucking ball at the seal. The seal then attacks her or whatever, and kills her. Not really. But then...
Because it's a wild animal, it goes, hurr! And puts his throat out.
Then the robot comes upstairs, because now everybody has to see it. And then Boom Boom gives it, like, a shirtless, soapy hug. And that's when he says that he'll definitely do windows.
Because he got boobs rubbed on his robot face. And then it just, like, the vacuum cleaner malfunctions or something, and then there's, like, dust everywhere, and then it ends with this robot man falling down a flight of stairs, and I guess he rolls out of the movie for a little while because they're not in the movie for, like, another half an hour.
Yeah, they don't come into, like, the last 20 minutes, maybe?
Because I guess they blew all their petty cash on this robot costume?
Yeah.
So then there's this weird interlude where the Hots girls fuck their biology teacher in an elevator so they don't fail the class. They're failing a class and they're like, well, we're not going to study. That would be stupid. Let's just fuck this guy in an elevator and pass. And they do. So this part, I'm not going to lie, skipped around this movie a little bit. I got so lost here. So then there's these two guys who steal a bear?
So one of them's Mad Dog. The other one is just some guy, I think, who they introduce.
Guy number two.
And so they just decide that I think they're going to play a prank on either a rival school or the mascot for this other sorority, which is this bear. Or they steal a van. They steal a van. I think that was their main goal, was, hey, let's just steal this fucking van. And then come to find out that there's a bear in the back of the van. Which,
like a full-size live bear.
Was it live? Because there were some parts where even I couldn't fucking tell.
Towards the end of the movie, it transforms into a man in a suit.
Yeah.
But initially, anyway, because when it crawls into the pool, that's a real bear.
That is a real bear. So not only do we have a live seal in the movie, we have introduced a live bear.
Did somebody just know somebody's uncle who, like, owned a circus?
Or did the zoo?
And they're like, hey, you work at the circus. Can we borrow that bear, that seal? How much is that hot air balloon? And they're just like, hey, we'll just write the plot of our movie around these things we have.
Danny Bonaducci just dropped a lard of Partridge Family just, money.
He did it for an eight ball and a lunch. So they're driving this bear around. They get mixed up. Somebody else gets the van with
the
bear in it.
Okay, so does everybody drive the same exact fucking van in this reality? Because they pull up next to an identical van.
And leave the keys inside, I guess, because these other two people get in this van, and they don't even have to start it. They just drive away.
Yeah.
Which means not only did the guys who stole the bear leave the keys in their car, the construction guys who get in the van must have left their keys in the car. Just leave our cars running. It's the 70s. We'll never run out of gas.
Ever. So then they come out. They are then starting to get harassed by the people who own the bear, whether that's a different school or the other sorority. I couldn't tell. So they're like pushing around Mad Dog, telling him that he stole his bear, and they never think once to look inside the van just to see if their bear is there. And then when they finally do, oops, no bear, end of scene.
But then we cut to the other van, and that van gets out near the Hots house, and the bear climbs out of that van, climbs into the Hots pool, then climbs a ladder to their roof, goes inside their attic, finds the mob money somehow, then drinks the entire bathtub of moonshine, and passes out. So if the bear ended up at the Hots house anyway, why did we have the whole switcheroo with the van? It was going to end up there either way. So why did we add this whole extra plot point when it was going to go there regardless?
Because this movie has to be Oscar bait.
Then the Hots decide they're going to stop all of the guys at the frat house from going to the snooty sorority girls party by sneaking into the frat house and playing sexy tag.
It was a jockstrap raid.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah. So they ran in looking for their jockstraps. One of them's like, I keep it in the top drawer. And she's like, it's supposed to be in the bottom drawer. Like, that has no merit to the actual scene. They just had to fill in some time there.
And then they get the jockstrap, and they're like, hey, we're going to jockstrap dance now. And they're just swinging this jockstrap around their fingers while the camera slowly just zooms on and cuts this woman's head off and cuts her waist up. And now we're just seeing boobs just shake, just shake on screen for like a good 30 seconds. And I'm sitting here watching it. And I'm like, all right, and what? And what now? What is this?
Then we get this like Scooby-Doo-esque scene where they're like running through the house at full speed and then it like reversed. And then they're going through rooms.
And that thing where they, like, go in a door and then they come out another door at the other end of the hallway.
Right. It made no sense.
Let me ask you this. Was that a thing guys would wear all the time? Was just a jock strap?
I think most of them were supposed to be on the football team.
But a lot of them aren't, and they have them too.
Right.
It's like you don't just wear a jock strap out. Like,
just because, like, date night, you gotta wear a jockstrap.
So they don't go to the party, and all those damn Hots girls always having sex with everybody.
We have the scene of the snooty frat girl, and she's, like, spiking the punch, and then drunk dials the house.
And here's all those damn hot girls.
Yeah, then
sexy fun.
Then the girl who's aiming to steal the boyfriend picks up, and she's like, and then it's basically this is the end of frat guy A and sorority girl A's relationship.
So then we cut to the dean who is coming over to the Hots house the next day to investigate the rumors of a moonshine still. So to get back at him while he's, like, trying to be nice, they spill a bunch of drinks on him, and he ends up in his, like, long johns? Like,
So then he sees the ladder to the attic, and that's when he decides to investigate.
And he goes up to the moonshine still, which they have hidden. They tried to hide it.
It's covered under a blanket. Now,
right,
also...
But the bear drank it.
The bear drank it.
So they get up there, and he's like, oh, it's all gone. And then what... Because I honestly forget. What series of events unfolds where... He ends up physically assaulting this girl on the roof.
So he's like, I know you're lying. If I can't get what I want, which is like him finding out about the moonshine distillery or whatever, then he's going to take what he wants. And that's where this movie got super rapey.
Because then they get on the roof and it's not even like they're arguing or she's like running and he's like chasing her or whatever. Like he is like grabbing her by the shoulders and shaking her really hard and like... putting her in a headlock, and she's, like, screaming for her life. And, like, okay, that's sort of a theme that's happened in all these movies we've watched up till this point, like, all three of these other boob comedies, is that because of, you know, the generation that they were made in, and it's sort of, it is played for the fun of, like, oh, boys will be boys kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, and, yeah, yeah. No, if that movie came out now, there'd be an uproar.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's also, in the other ones, there's also the big thing of like, oh, you know, girls want it, though. Like, they're into it. And again, you couldn't make that movie now, but this movie has been like a movie about women being in charge and, like, taking over everything. I mean, it's no feminist masterpiece or nothing like that, but I mean, for the most part, it's the girls doing the sex stuff.
Yeah.
And then this happens, and you're like, well, this isn't what this movie was about. Why are we doing this now?
So they, like, get up on the roof. The dean's trying to rape this poor girl or sexually assault her.
Or just physically assault her.
Or just physically assault her. And then...
she's got a couple of bruises at least.
Yeah, absolutely. And then Mad Dog and his friend are doing, like, recon... scouting
in the hot air balloon
for the bear, and they think they see the bear, see the dean instead, and start cheering on the dean. They start like rooting for him.
It's so out of place in what the rest of this movie basically is.
It really is. And then the like dean falls off the roof, which I would have just hoped he got impaled by whatever metal spikes there were there, but he falls off the roof, slides down the roof shingle things, and then is like exposed, his ass is out. So then they start taking pictures of him,
and that basically wraps up the dean's plot, because they send him those photos and they're like, hey, leave the hots alone, or we're gonna blackmail you with this. And he's like, oh, those hots, girls. And then it's like, okay, so plot three's done, I guess?
He would have gotten away with it, too.
If it wasn't for those sexy hots girls.
Those crazy hots girls and that fucking seal.
Would have gotten away with it, too, if it wasn't for you sexy hots girls and your talking seal. So we cut to the hot having a wet t-shirt contest, right?
At no other place than the world-renowned Climax Club.
And this is, like, the first disco wet t-shirt contest I've ever seen. Because it's, like, at a disco club. It's got a disco ball and everything. And we've all got feathered hair and big collared shirts.
And Danny Bonaducci is the MC.
You could have just said, and Danny Bonaducci. I'm like, yeah, that also fits into the 70s aspect.
He just has every job known to man in this movie.
And he doesn't, like, for what, 90% of this movie, he doesn't do a goddamn thing.
He doesn't. He announces shit. He sings a little bit. Actually, he sings a few times in the movie. And then he announces this wet t-shirt contest, and that's about it.
And, you know, we take these big cartoony seltzer sprayers, and we spray water all over the hots girls, and then we spray water all over the other girls. And
one thing I'd like to mention is that overweight Polish girl is conveniently left out of any scene that could be deemed sexy, in air quotes.
Well, she was busy.
And then...
She's not playing... Like, every single one... Spoiler alert, this movie ends with a topless football game. They are
all there. Whoa. Slow it down a little bit.
She's not there at the end.
She is. She
but she's not when they get their shirts off.
Oh, yeah, she is. Oh, yes, she is. Yeah, she gets down to her bra and panties, and then she's magically gone from the movie.
Then she disappears. From the face of the
she's
earth.
In a huddle at the very end. But let's cycle back to... Let's rewind all the way back to the beginning of the movie where she's running through the hallway, and she, like, has this moment with the nerd of the movie.
And what I love about movies like this is that when there is the nerd character, these movies appear to imply that, like, each school just has the nerd.
Like, one nerd.
There's not a group of them. It is just the nerd, and it is like, okay, we need a nerd. What do you want him to look like? I'm the prop lady. And they go, a fucking nerd. Just dress him up like a nerd. And she's like, all right, I got it.
You got horn-rimmed glasses? Put him in fucking horn-rimmed glasses. Like,
and that guy talks to the casting lady, and he goes, make sure he's got, like, a big nose, like a big old Jew nose.
So flash forward now to the wet T-shirt scene, and he's the one spraying her. That's the only reason why I wanted to bring that point up. But their whole plot point is that they want to be together, but that's one of those, like, loose end plot points that never gets closed. Like, they never announce that they're together. They never portray that they're together. It's just
or
like...
there's never that scene where, like, they come out of a bedroom and he's, like, smoking a cigarette and he's all cool all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm.
But she's fat and gross and that would be weird.
And I'm a nerd, so obviously this is never going to work out.
So we have the wet t-shirt contest. The two heads, the bitchy snooty girl and the woman who started the hot sorority, they get in a sexy wet cat fight because they just hate each other.
Well, they dance first.
Oh, that's right. There's about 2 minutes of disco boob-shaking wet t-shirt dancing.
Danny Bonaducci declares that a tie. And that's the scene. Like, no scene ends with, like, a fade-out or anything. It's just
Scene. Because they have the fight. They get in the
that's
fight
right.
after
they have
that.
They have the fight.
And then the way they get the fight gets broken up, and the way they decide to settle their differences is that they're going to have a game of strip football.
That's right.
And then we all decide to get ready by having a bonfire on the beach where they say, don't worry, we'll win because that girl over there is blowing the head of the football team
yeah.
and he'll teach us
oh,
football
yeah.
like that.
We've got the captain of the football team, and he's like, all right, let's go run some plays. And then they don't practice for about...
The game is literally the next day. Somehow they have uniforms, they have the field reserved, the whole school knows it's there, they talk the dean into being the ref somehow.
Let's talk about this bonfire scene real quick.
All right, bonfire.
So everybody's chilling out, having a good time, and Danny Bonaducci gets up to go get a beer while one of the girls is, like, singing, and this other guy is infatuated by her. I'm gonna call him Guy One, I guess.
Sure.
So Danny Bonaducci comes over, and he's like, here, have a beer on me. He's like, oh, you're really into so-and-so, the girl who's singing. He's like, yeah. And then Danny Bonaducci's like, oh, she's a wild thing, or whatever the fuck he says that insinuates that he fucked her. And then this guy gets all butthurt, like, oh, she's fucking other guys, even though that was their whole purpose of starting the sorority in the first place.
Was to literally fuck everyone.
Was to fuck every guy on campus.
And while that's all happening... The evil sorority, two of the evil sorority girls decide they're going to sneak into the Hots house dressed as Hots girls. They get a uniform and everything, and they
yeah.
put, like, fake boobies in. And they're going to put itching powder in their football uniforms that I guess they just have, because at this point they have a bear, a seal, a hot air balloon, so they probably also have just perfectly measured out football pads.
So while this is happening, while they're scheming against the Hots girls decide that they are going to get Danny Bonaducci character back, I guess?
For what, though? Back for what? That was the whole thing. I couldn't figure out why they do this to him.
I asked myself the same question. And I was promptly informed that because he was a dickhead on the beach and he's like, oh yeah, I fucked her, when he actually didn't. that's what they're trying to get him back for.
Okay.
But then he still portrays himself as a decent human being. Like,
and then they prank him anyway.
30 fucking seconds to address and resolve the conflict.
So the prank they're going to do on him is they're going to have one girl seduce him and feed him something that what makes so he can't get a hard on, or he has to poop or something.
I don't know, but they have this camera set up behind some curtains, like they're filming the whole thing.
And they're going to live broadcast.
Yeah, this is a live production to the living room?
Yeah.
I guess. So everybody's piled into the living room,
including
Sassy Black Woman. Thank you. Including Sassy Black Woman. I think the seal's there, like everybody from the rest of this movie.
The bear's poking his head around
is
the
there,
wall.
Yeah. The girl who's seducing Danny Bonaducci's just like, oh, well, you were with so-and-so.
And they're trying to get him to incriminate himself.
Right. So
and instead,
guy one walks into the room, and then guy one sits down next to guitar-playing girl. And Danny Bonaducci's just like, oh, I was just pulling his chain. I was just giving him a hard time. She's got no other eyes, anybody but him. Like, he, you know, makes himself seem like the dickhead. He makes the other guy seem like an outstanding citizen. He makes her seem like this princess, and then they still decide to go ahead with the prank.
Right, and guy number one and guitar girl, like, they make eyes, and then they, like, snuggle up to each other, and you're like, okay, so they ended up together. So all of this misunderstanding is fixed, and then they still prank him. So the girl is still trying to seduce him to have sex with him. He can't get a boner to fuck her, right? But he fixes the problem by, like, running out of the room to poop or something.
He runs out, hot girl, gets out of the bed.
They replace the hot girl
with
the
unknown,
seal.
Oh, I was going to say unknown entity, until it's then revealed to be the seal.
Because he comes back and he's, like, patting his belly, and he's like, okay, I'm better now, like, I'm ready. And I'm like, wait, so did he have to poop, or could it not give him a hard-on, or was it
right.
something where it's like you have to poop so hard?
like you can't get an erection.
You can't get an erection because you have to shit so bad. So the seal goes like, and they come out and they go, you're pranked. And he goes, oh no, you hot girl.
The exact line was, smile, you're on candid camera.
And he should be livid. Like, he should be like, why did you guys do, you broadcast me naked to everyone, you gave me some weird chocolate cake that I'm not entirely sure what its effects on my body are. He should be, and then, like, the next scene, he's like, hey guys, like, that was all fun, but we're cool, right? While the whole Danny Bonaducci thing was happening, the two girls who are getting ready to sneak in, one of them gets kidnapped by the evil sorority house and their boyfriends because they think she's actually a hots girl, and they, like, hogtie her.
Oh, wait. The other scene, though, because there was two of them that dressed up like hots girls, one of them was hiding behind a bush.
She gets grease water dumped on her head.
Grease watered by old sassy black woman.
And so the other girl gets kidnapped, they hogtie her, and, like, of course, they just eventually, they're like, wait a minute, that girl is the other girl! And they run out to rescue her. But, like, what were they gonna do?
No. So what happened was, they're just like, oh, I wish we had a razor. And this guy's like, what if we do? And he just pulls a razor out of thin air.
Because they're going to murder someone.
Then they go kidnap the girl.
To murder her.
They tie her up, they hog tie her, thinking that she's an actual hots girl, when in fact she's one of their own. And then they shave her head.
That's why at the end of the movie. Okay. Yeah.
So,
all right.
So then we go forward to the game itself, who's being broadcasted by none other than Danny Bonaducci.
And it's him and guy number two.
I guess.
Or number one.
Guy N, I guess.
Another adult male.
Another guy who wears sunglasses.
And as they're getting ready to leave, O'Hare, she's the brunette one, she goes, oh no, my bra broke or whatever, I have to go get another one.
Yeah, so keep in mind, this, we haven't seen the mobsters for about 30 minutes.
So the mob guys go in there, and they're going to pretend to be, because they know they all left to the football game, so they dress themselves up as bug-killing guys. Why can't I think of the word? Exterminators. they go in there and they're like, all right, we're going to look for the money. And the fat, dumb one, because there's always, you know, I'm the smart one and I'm tall and skinny. And everyone's like, oh, okay, boss. He is in one of the girls' rooms going through their panties because he's a real weirdo.
He then sniffs her bra?
Yeah, because I guess he wanted to get that sweet booby residue or whatever. He hears O'Hare coming into the room and he hides in the closet.
Oh, by the way, she's very vocal. She keeps chanting the Hots theme.
Even though she's alone.
Even though she's alone. There's nobody.
The Seal's not even
that.
In the room.
Yeah.
And then we just see her, like, tramping around with her top off. And it's not even, like, all of the other topless parts have been, like, part of a gag. This one is just a woman getting dressed while a man breathes heavily in a closet. And then the other mob guy, the one in the closet, his name is Bug. And the tall, skinny one, the smarter one, comes up and he's like, Bug, where are you, Bug? And the girl sees her,
she's
him
like,
and
what
he's
are you
like,
doing here?
And he goes, pest control. I'm looking for bugs. And this guy steps out of the closet like he's a ghost and just goes, hey, I'm right here.
Yeah.
And she is horrified, rightfully so.
Rightfully so.
And runs out and in horror movie fashion runs upstairs instead of out the door. The mob guys chase her and they both get trapped up in the attic where they find the bear who has woken up from his 4-day bender, I guess. And also, he's covered, the bear is covered in money.
Yeah, just covered.
And so, they don't even, like, kick the door down and try and get out. They go up into the attic where the bear is and just, like, keep it at bay by waving a hat at it.
Well, so they find the money hidden in this hideaway hole in the attic, and then there's bees that are in there. Like, there's a bee's nest, so they're like, oh, we have to grab as much money as we can. So they run out
to the roof,
where the
where
girl
thank
is.
God we have a balloon,
where we have a hot air balloon. They all
that is always inflated, by the way.
Yeah, so they hop into, or the girl hops into the hot air balloon. The bear follows her.
This is where the bear is now a guy in a suit.
The mobsters are now holding on to the hot air balloon as it starts to float away.
Yeah, because the bear climbs into the balloon. Like, it is now this lady and a bear man in a balloon.
Who are fighting off mobsters.
And this bear man is doing nothing but just, like, just swinging its arms. Because clearly whoever's in the suit can't actually see. So this balloon, while the football game is going on and the Hots are losing, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, that's because they didn't have their star quarterback. Who is the girl in the balloon?
And this balloon soars across town with a bear and two men hanging off of it. People get in accidents, cops see this thing. Even though, like, at this point, this balloon in the sky should be a pretty common occurrence in town. We've seen naked women fall out of the sky. This balloon's been in the air at least four times. Now is the time where we're alerted. Like, the police are like, wait a minute. And it crash lands in the middle of the football field, distracting the other team just enough so the Hots can get a point, and it's legal, even though there's a balloon, a bear, a police car, a fire truck, and half the audience on the football field. This has happened so many times during Major League Baseball games where, like, a stray dog gets on the field or, like, a cat gets on the field, and you know what we do? We stop the game until we get the wild animal off the field. There is a bear! A bear, a hot air balloon that crashed with three people in it. All the team members and, like, a bunch of their boyfriends are on the field, and again, the ref is still like, it's good.
I just think,
are you fucking kidding me?
I just think the dean is a fucking pervert who wanted to see some action.
The game picks up within minutes. I guess we just fly that hot air. I guess Mad Dog gets in his balloon and flies it back home.
No, Mad Dog was the cone head. You can't forget that. You can't forget that he was dressed as a cone head.
We all get back into play in the game. And generally, in a sports movie, this is the end of the game where the Mighty Ducks were, oh, they're flying V and we're all blah, blah, blah. But they're not good at sports. So all it is just women with their boobies out running around, and that would be one thing where you're building towards, when are we going to see these women play topless football?
There was just a lot of laziness that was put into this overall scene.
And then the climax of this movie should be, they all get their tops off, and then they score the winning touchdown, game over. once they get their tops off, there's like 10 more minutes of football left. This game goes on and on. We get a lot of huddles where their heads are down and their boobies are hanging down. Because we need to see just like a circle of titties. And then, you know, they win the game and whatever. And then at the end, they take the snooty bitch's wig off and, oh no, she's bald, and they take a picture of her because that's so embarrassing.
Yeah, and she was flipping off everybody. And
then the movie's over.
Then the movie's over.
Guess we wrapped up the bear plot, the mob plot, the boyfriend plot, and the snooty girl plot all at the end of this movie, all at the end of the football game.
Oh, so that at the end of the movie, like, they do this weird dance outro, and that's when they say their names as they spell out HOTS. Like that,
and we finally hear what it was.
Like, 30 seconds left in the movie. It was a bad movie.
Oh, yeah, well, now that we're done, this is how we always wrap this up. We go around, like there's a group of us here. We trade off, and we give our overall review, how we felt about it, what we thought its general flaws are. Then we give a rating. And if you hated the movie, you give another suggestion of a movie that's sort of like this one. Although I don't think there is a movie that's like this, but I'll go first. Honestly, out of this being the fourth one we've watched, this one is actually the most boring. There's a lot of, like, all of the other movies we watched, Screwballs, Oddballs, Attack of the 60-Foot Centerfold, they all have that plot of, like, what is this about? Where is this going? This is clearly just an excuse to show boobies. Uh-huh. But, like, it's sort of wrapped around in a plot. Oddballs and Screwballs specifically have, like, a lot of goofiness in there, where it's, like, a guy shoots a gun in the air and he kills Mary Poppins by accident. Out of all of the movies we watched, this one is the longest, and it has the least amount of content in it. There's no reason this movie should be this long. Cut out all the scenes with the fucking seal. Like, that doesn't need to be in this movie. Neither does Black Mama. Like, this movie just...
I'd slow it down there. Black Mama, she...
I know, it's your favorite character.
She kind of made that movie for me.
But our rating system is, I hated it. It's a good hangover movie where, you know, you had a heavy Saturday night and you need something to just lay on the couch and stare at, and it doesn't require a lot of your brain. Uh-huh. That's a hangover movie. A party movie is you got some people over, and you got some beer, and you can put it on, and we can all talk about it. And then my favorite movie of all time, you loved it. And I've been giving these movies a good party movie or a good hangover movie because the silly ones generally are. This one really isn't that. It's not a good party movie. There's nothing specific, particularly funny to talk over. And it's not a good hangover movie because, like, it's not... Granted, it is mindless and it doesn't require a lot of you mentally, but also there's nothing going on. It's not like if you watch Predator for the 80th time, you can fall asleep, open your eyes, and be like, oh, they're shooting guns and stuff. And then fall back asleep and come back to wake, and Arnold Schwarzenegger's covered in mud. It's not quite like that, and I'm not good, and I really hate, because I usually try to not give it, I hated it, but I think I kind of hated this movie.
Okay. That's valid reasoning. I can genuinely see where you're coming from, but, like, I would probably give it a party movie, not because it was good by any means, like, on a scale of 1 to 5, but just because, like, that is a movie that I would want people to watch to suffer the same fate that I did.
So when people are like, Matt, this isn't even funny, you're like, I know
you're
it's
like,
not.
I
you're
know
gonna,
it's not. Yeah.
You're going to watch it too.
So if I had to take a page from of my favorite content creators, I'm going to compare mine to a food.
Okay.
I'm going to give it a Triscuit.
I love Triscuits.
Triscuits are terrible.
No, they're not.
Triscuits are dry, they're uneventful, and they're not made good unless you pair something with it. And I think the only good thing about this movie was the fact that there was sometimes tits in it. Like, that's about it. I give it a Triscuit.
Well, I don't agree with that analogy at all. But... that's it. We're wrapping up. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, or hate mail you want to send us, you can send us those at moviehotdog@gmail.com. We have a Twitter. You can follow us at moviehotdog. We have a YouTube channel. I update that all the time. And if you want to stream these there, if that's easier for you to listen to that, that's Zach/Hotdog. If you like us on Facebook, please comment and write us a message. That's where we get all of our movie suggestions generally. And we're watching one next week. It's some weird Jackie Chan movie. So pop any of those suggestions you have over. If you get this on Podomatic or iTunes, please rate and review and subscribe. It really helps the show. Matt, do you have anything to say?
I would prefer hate mail.
That's the most fun. Well, without anything else, I'm Zach for Matt. This movie was a hot dog.